welcome to the Texaco Star Theater, ladies and gentlemen. We invite you to enjoy the next 60 minutes with Fred Allen, Kenny Baker, Portland Hopper, our special guest, Simone Simone, the winner of the Texaco College competition, Joseph Phipps from the University of Texas, and Al Goodman's orchestra. An hour of mirth and melody brought to you by the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast. Ladies and gentlemen, next week, we in this country pay tribute to the Bill of Rights. Republican and Democratic parties both agree that our American Constitution is the strongest in the world. Tonight, we bring you the party with the weakest Constitution, Fred Allen, in person.
Thank you, and...
Come on up, Fred.
Hey, wouldn't it be an awful thing if actors were only as tall as their Crosleys? Imagine. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And before anything hilarious occurs, Mr. Wallington, in rebuttal to your opening remarks, may I ask, what is wrong with my Constitution?
Well, for one thing, it could use a few amendments.
Well, I wouldn't talk about my constitution with that flushed complexion of yours, Mr. Wallington. You look as though you just had a ketchup transfusion. And not at a good restaurant, either. Your face, you're 90% benzoite, I imagine. Your face is as red as an Indian's kneecap, Jimmy. Have you ever seen an Indian in a short blanket? I mean, can you get the simile as I paint it?
Well, for your information, Mr. Allen, I am not red. I am ruddy.
You are ruddy for an oxygen tent, Jimmy.
Why, I'm in great shape. Every day I go to a gym.
Well, so do I.
Yeah, what does your gym do for you?
My gym doesn't send me pretty flowers, brother. And before you start singing the chorus and knock that song off the hit parade, I shall turn nimbly, as only I can at this hour of the evening, to the latest news of the week. Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. Washington, D.C., Division of Simplified Practice of the National Bureau of Standards, calls conference to discuss the shortening of toothpicks. Texaco News interviews the man in the street to get his reaction to the new toothpick legislation. Now, our first guest this evening, they're walking out on you, doctor, for your start. Our first guest is Dr. Rancid Squirm, who certainly looks the part and name if anyone ever did. You are an authority on the toothpick, Dr. Squirm.
Yes, wood has been my life's work.
Really? Well, how did you first... You look bored when you came in. I was wondering... How did you first get interested in wood, Doctor?
As a little boy, I had shingles.
That started you off, did it?
Yes. At college, I specialized in twigonometry.
In twigonometry, huh? And then?
In 1910, I conducted my great experiment.
Your great experiment? What was that, Doctor?
I planted myself underground with an acorn. A friend watered us daily.
A friend watered you daily, did he? That was starting in 1910.
Yes. In 1925, Ripley found me growing out of an oak tree, none the worse for my experiments.
You were growing as part of a tree. You lived 15 years as part of a tree, Doctor?
Yes.
Well, has it bothered you? Do you find that it bothers you in later life?
Oh, no, not at all. Of course, I still have bird's nests under my arm.
Well, naturally.
I have moss growing up my right leg.
You have? I thought you had on a green puttee there.
No. You see, when I take off my hat...
What are those holes in your head, Doctor?
Woodpeckers.
Well, I... Don't shake your sleeve. An egg may roll down from the nest there. Well, I must say that you are just the man to take over our wood conservation campaign, Dr. Squirm. Now, are you conserving wood in radio, are you?
Oh, yes, I'm taking Barry Wood off the hit parade.
Oh, are you really?
I'm cutting the woodwind down in all orchestras.
The woodwind, huh? How?
I'm making all piccolos shorter.
Oh, you're shortening the piccolo, huh? Well, the piccolo is pretty short now, Doctor.
When I get through, a man playing a piccolo will look as though he's smelling a Tootsie Roll.
Well, that's making it short and sweet, isn't it, Doctor? This is all mighty interesting, I might say, but what about the toothpick?
The toothpick today is 2 5/10 inches long.
Yes?
It will be shortened 2/10 of an inch.
2/10 of an inch?
Exactly.
Well, how much wood can you save, Doctor? I don't even get it.
Nobody gets it. That is the general idea.
You are trying to confuse people intentionally?
Yes, when the toothpick is shortened...
Yes?
You won't see the points.
That's putting it bluntly, and thank you no end, Dr. Rancid Squirt. A hillbilly belle who has her opinion of the toothpick shortening is Miss Gansey Dowd. You spell that with a small D, don't you, Miss Dowd?
That's right.
Well, tell me, has the new model toothpick bothered you, Gansey?
I'm in a swivet right now.
You are? Well, how do you mean?
Well, I got buck teeth.
Yes, I see you have that.
But two front teeth jut out like a beaver's.
Yes, you look as though you're coughing up a mahjong set there.
I can eat corn on the cob through a Venetian blind.
Remind me to have ours up if you ever over for dinner during the corn season, which is any time in radio. Fine, but about the toothpick, Gansey.
Well, I used to tote a toothpick day and night.
Why?
Well, my front teeth are out so fur, stuff keeps blowing in them.
What sort of stuff?
Gravel, twigs, clinkers, and all sorts of berries in season.
Oh, in season. They blow in your teeth, eh?
Yeah.
I see.
Well, every night before going to bed, I'd shut out the coal hod.
Yes?
Then I'd take my toothpick, prod my buck teeth, and jimmy out all the rubbish.
You jimmy the rubbish out of your teeth. With this new bobbed toothpick...
Oh, I had to give it up. Pick's too short.
Well, how are you cleaning your front teeth now, Gansey?
I got new system.
Well, how do you work it?
Well, first I set out the coal hod, same as before.
Yeah?
Then I take my old man's fiddle.
You hold the fiddle up to your face, do you?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
I put a pinch of pepper up my nose.
Yes.
And when I sneeze...
Uh-huh.
My two buck teeth snap between them strings.
Snap between the strings, eh? Yeah.
There's a chord in G flat, and the rubbish falls out in the coal.
Musical dental floss. I mean, you have something there. Well, tell me now. You have the fiddle slapped up against your face, bridge toward you.
Yeah.
You're crossing the bridge as you're coming to it with the buck teeth. Now, how do you get the fiddle off of your face later?
I goose grease the strings.
Goose grease them, huh?
They slip out and eat anything.
Well, this without even so much as a faint pizzicato, would you say? Well, this wood conservation has sure caused you plenty of trouble, Gansey.
Oh, it could be worse.
Well, how, Gansey?
Well, if they cut down the handles on vacuum cleaners...
Yes?
I sure will be holding the bag.
Well, that's one way to get all the dirt. And thank you, Gansey Dowdy. Now, a man who has his own philosophy is Waldemir Kunkel. What is your... That is your right name?
You're not
here incognito under another name. Kunkel is the name, eh?
Yes, sir.
Well, what is your reaction to the new abbreviated toothpick, Mr. Kunkel?
Well, to me, the length of them calorie niblicks don't make no... Never mind.
The calorie niblicks, eh?
Yeah.
Well, don't you ever use toothpicks?
Not me. I got my own routine.
Well, what is your routine, Mr. Kunkel?
Well, I only got one tooth. You see?
Oh. It is a Lulu, isn't it?
When I open my mouth, it looks like an elk wearing a red vest.
Or perchance a graveyard in Red Bank.
Well, you see, I'm a big eater.
Well, how do you carry on your gluttony with only one tooth?
Well, luckily, me tooth is right in the middle of me mouth.
Oh, dead center, huh?
Yeah, whatever I'm eating, I put right in the middle of me plate.
I see.
Then I bend down me head and spear it.
new spirit, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
And then?
Then I wolf it around inside me mouth till me tooth gets tired.
Till your tooth gets tired.
Then I swallow it whole.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, that's why I don't need no toothpaste.
Well, confidentially, yeah. Mr. Kunkel, you do take oral precautions, don't you?
Oh, you bet. After I'm finished eating.
Yes?
I take a mouthful of coffee and sluice it around in my mouth.
You sluice it around,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, yeah. Then, just in case, I open my mouth, let me tooth hang out.
You let your tooth hang out, do you?
Yeah, then I rim me tooth with this finger here.
You get English on the tooth, as you demonstrated. Well, I'd like to see you make a billiard on a grape sometime. Well, no wonder the toothpick shortening holds no terrors for you.
Only one thing bothers me.
You mean with this wood conservation?
Yeah, I hope they shorten all pool cues.
Why?
If I'm going to end up behind the eight ball...
Yes?
I'd like to be nearer to it now.
Yes, you might as well get used to it. For in your old age, you won't have so far to go. And thank you, Mr. Kunkel. Well, I guess that concludes our...
I beg your pardon?
Falstaff Openshaw.
The shoddy Swinburne at your service.
Well, where have you been, Falstaff?
The warden. The warden sends his regards. Need I say more?
You have really been in jail?
I didn't get this haircut at Harvard.
You look as though someone tied you down and put hair on you. I mean, after... Well, never mind that. You know, those poems you grapevined out these past few weeks have been terrible.
I have written some others.
Well, that is your misfortune.
Have you heard when I called her dear, her face lit up because she had a lantern jaw?
No, I...
I'm doing no harm in this grain car, brakeman. I am only feeling my oats.
No, I haven't heard that either.
Or, don't roll that stranger's dice, mother. They're loaded, and so is he.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Not that. Not your own mother, boy. Not Mrs. Openshaw, the elder. Tonight, we are discussing the digest toothpick, Falstaff, and wood conservation.
Precisely why I am here.
You...
I have written a song about wood conservation.
Oh, a song?
Yes. I have brought the San Quentin Jubilee Singers here
This is the San Quentin Glee Club you have with you here.
Yes.
What is your song called?
What will become of the old oaken bucket?
What? How does it go?
Give us the key, 2792.
Okay.
When the Bureau of Standards starts calling a conference to shorten the toothpick, it's time to rebel. In place of things wooden, we'll soon have a substitute, and the old oaken bucket will be gone from the well. When the bucket is gone, and it may not be long, instead of old oaken bucket, we'll be singing this song. Oh, gone is the bucket, the old oaken bucket, a big Dixie cup, it now hangs in a box. Well,
thank you, Falstaff and the San Quentin Jubilee Singers. And now from the vocal riffraff, we turn to the king of song, Kenny Baker. With Al Goodman and his orchestra cooperating, Kenny's first song is Begin the Begin.
When they begin the begin, it brings back the sound of music so tender. It brings back a night of tropical splendor. It brings back a memory evergreen. I'm with you once more under the stars, and down by the shore an orchestra's playing. And even the palms seem to be swaying. When they begin the begin, who'll live it again is past all endeavor. Except when that tune clutches my heart. And there we are, swearing to love forever, and promising never, never to part. What moments divine, what rapture serene, till clouds came along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. Start off, let them begin the beginning. Let the love that was once a fire remain an ember. Let it sleep like the dead desire I only remember. When they begin the begin. Oh yes, let them begin the begin. Make them play. Till the stars that were there before return above you. Till you whisper to me once more, darling, I love you. And we suddenly know what heaven we're in when they begin the beginning. When they begin the beginning.
Jimmy.
Yes, Fred?
Jimmy, this letter here got mixed in with my fan mail this week. The other one was for me, but I think this one's for you.
Well, what does it say, Fred?
Well, it says here, I'll read it. I opened it up, and actually, if you don't mind.
Oh, no.
But it says, dear friend, I know my car should be protected against cold weather, but just how? Should I have my wife knit a cozy for the exhaust pipe? Should I buy a pair of ski pants for the car's rear end? Please advise me. Signed, Perplex. Now, can you answer this letter, Jimmy?
Why, surely. Take a letter, Fred.
Oh, I will, Jimmy. I'm ready now. Short.
Dear Perplex.
Yeah?
As a car owner, you know you should protect your car's vital parts right now against cold weather. You want easier starts, easier shifting of gears, a smoother ride all winter long. And that's what your Texaco dealer offers you with his complete winter conditioning. The right winter grade of insulated Havilah or Texaco motor oil in your crankcase means not only motor protection, but also quicker starts, less waste of gasoline, less strain on your battery. And you'll have a much easier riding car, too, when your Texaco dealer completes his winter conditioning with Texaco's famous Marfax chassis lubrication service. So start now driving a safer car, a better performing car. See your Texaco dealer without delay for complete winter conditioning. Signed, respectfully yours, Jimmy Wallington.
I'll mail it right out. Comes now, ladies and gentlemen, our guest. At this time, may I present...
Mr. Allen!
Well, pardon. You bear tidings, do you?
Yes. Did you hear Jack Benny Sunday night?
Yes, I heard old locked-in flavor. They let him out. He got out of the package for a half hour Sunday.
Well, didn't you think Jack was swell as Dr. Jeco and Mr. Hyde?
Well, I couldn't tell which was which. You know, when Benny plays Dr. Jeco without his toupee, you can see Hyde through what's left of his head. Probably the only man who played both parts simultaneously. Say, what is that book you've got there? What is that?
Oh, it's a French dictionary.
French?
Oi, oi.
Oi, oi? What is that?
Oh, oi means yes in French. It's spelled O-U-I.
Oh, that's wee. What do you need with a dictionary? Are you pressing a flower or something? What do you want, especially?
No, our guest tonight is French, isn't she?
Oh, yes. Our guest is Simone, the famous French actress. And we are going to greet Miss Simone in English.
We're not going to show off?
No. We are not going to show off linguistically this evening. Through you, huh? Linguistically, huh? You know what it means?
Uh-huh.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
I'll settle $2 you don't know what any part of it means. Well, look, now, every time you can break it up into any parts, a suffix or...
Well, the first part of it is part of that
linguine
that you like to eat.
Married 15 years, I turn out to be a straight man. Now she tells me. Well, we're not going to show off our linguistic prowess this evening, because every time we have attempted to salute a guest in her native tongue, Portland, we have opened our collective mouth and put our collective foot in it. Now, remember Carmen Miranda, and remember Anna May Wong, remember?
Yes, they gave it to you good.
I have gotten it in all languages yet. Even in the sign language, a man gave it to me good today. Well, look. I am not. Tonight, fun is going on. They're laughing in there. You see, somebody's in there telling jokes. We ought to go in there. They're laughing more in there in the control room. There's a man in there telling funny stuff. Well, tonight, I am not thinking. I'm not taking any chances, Portland. I am greeting Miss Simone in English.
But what if she answers you in French?
Well, we'll all be out of here 20 minutes early, Portland.
Why don't you play safe, Mr. Allen?
Play safe how?
You welcome Simone in English, and let Kenny and me welcome her in French.
Well, that is a sensation, an idea, Portland. An idea like that could only come from the agency. You know, that way, they're all home. We're safe now. That way... I hope. That way we won't be at you. You speak in French and I speak in English. Mm-hmm. The duplex welcome. We're not taking any chances. Where's Kenny?
Oh, Kenny!
Oh, Kenny!
Now, wait a minute, Kenny. What is the idea of paging yourself?
That wasn't me.
I distinctly heard two Kenny Bakers there.
This studio has an echo. Every time I sing, I hear myself.
Well, don't you like yourself?
Sure, but I keep wanting to stop in the middle of my songs to yell, Bravo!
You mean you're going to eliminate the studio audience entirely? The echo? Well, look, there's no echo in here, Kenny, or I... There's no echo in here, Kenny, or I... There's no echo in here, Kenny, or I... There's no echo in here, Kenny, or I'd have to stop every 5 minutes to hiss myself. Now, let's get going, everybody. We've got to... You two have got to master some French in a hurry.
French? You mean that stuff they write on cologne bottles?
Uh-huh.
On cologne bottles?
Uh-huh.
Yes, Kenny, you and I are going to greet our guest in French.
Well, who is it, Porty?
Simone.
There goes that echo again, I'm telling you.
Wait. That is no echo. Simone is our guest star. Now, look, you see the word, this word here in this French dictionary, bienvenue.
Bienvenue?
Yes. Bienvenue. Bienvenue means welcome. Now, when Miss Simone comes in, I shall say, Welcome, Miss Simone, and you in Portland will say, Bienvenue. Mademoiselle, you see. That means madam in French. Now, have you got that?
Bienvenue.
Great. Now, we can't go wrong. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I present Hollywood's most charming importation, the popular international screen star, Miss Simone. Well, welcome, Miss Simone.
Bienvenue, Mademoiselle.
Well, Miss Simone?
Nous, lendemain, was machst du?
Well, we have done it again. Where did you ever pick up those words?
While you're rehearsing to greet me.
Yes?
Mr. Goodman is rehearsing me to greet you.
Mr. Goodman. Lunchman was magst du. That is Mr. Goodman at his pure Castilian best.
I have said something wrong.
Oh, no. You have said something right. Yes. But you haven't met your fan club. This is Portland, Miss Simone.
How do you do, Portland? Oi, oi, Mademoiselle.
Goodman has also left his mark on you, Portland. And this Miss Simone is Kenny Baker.
Hello, Kenny Baker. I have heard you sing.
Oui.
You are très bien.
Mercy, Mademoiselle.
Alone, Kenny, alone.
I didn't get you, F.A.
Alone, Kenny. Allez beaucoup.
Give it to me in English, Pop.
Scram.
That I can understand.
Miss Simone and I are going to parley the voo around a little. Hey, Simone?
If you say so, big boy.
Bien. Now, I have some very interesting questions to ask you.
Good. Can I have the 64-franc question first?
The 64-franc question? Well, this isn't a quiz program, really. We just ask questions here because we're nosy, you see. Now, I have some questions I don't think that you've ever been asked before.
That will be novel.
Now, first, how do you like New York?
New York is wonderful. New York is everything.
Oh, well, not everything. We don't have those famous wines that you have in France.
No, but here you have the wonderful Brooklyn champagne.
Brooklyn champagne?
Yes, it is. How you call it? Pepsi Cola?
That is the champagne that only costs a nickel, 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 nickel.
Yes, but the bubbles, they tickle, 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 tickle.
So they do. Now, my next unusual question is, what do you think of New York, its sights, its skyline?
Oh, it's wonderful. When New York lights up at night, it looks like a grand épingle boule automat.
A pingle boule automat? What is that?
A pinball machine.
What do you think of American men?
American men are all very handsome.
Well, thank you.
You are American?
I'm getting it again now. With the dialect again. Well, tell me, do you like our American food?
I like very much donuts.
Donuts, huh?
I like very much to plonger.
Plonger with a donut? What is that?
Plonger in French is dunking.
Oh, plonger. Well, you see here, plonger is something else again. But tell me, Simone, do you enjoy our American humor? You know, the wisecracks and the jokes.
I always laugh at American jokes, but I do not know what they mean.
Well, now, perhaps if I told you an American story in French tonight, now you might have a better idea of our humor.
That would be funny.
Oh, now, don't be too sure. If I get stuck with some of the French words, why, you can help me out.
Wait.
Oh, now, wait, don't laugh yet. Wait till I tell a story.
Oh.
Is it good? It will be up to you. I took your
yes.
line. You didn't
oh,
mind,
right,
did you?
Is it good?
Is it good? I could put it back and you could read it again.
Right.
Well, is it good? That will be up to you. Now... Well, here's the story, Simone. Now, pay attention.
Yes,
sir. Un jour, un Indien promena a petit cheval. Comprenez?
Oui, an Indian was riding on a little horse.
A little horse, a pony. Comprenez, pony?
Oui, oui, pony.
Pony, pony. Derrière l'Indien, se squaw et les apides. Comprenez?
Oui, the Indian squaw was walking along behind.
Oui, walking along behind. Un homme du full of brush. Un homme du full of brush se promenait en automobile on Lincoln Highway.
A full of brush man driving in the automobile on Lincoln Highway.
Oui, oui. L'homme du full of brush pour voir l'Indien et arrêta le Model T.
The full of brush man saw the Indian and stopped his Model T.
Oui, oui, oui. Un Indien, il dit, comment se fait jerk? Comment se fait jerk que vous promenez un petit cheval et votre squaw allait à pied?
The fuller brush man says to the Indian, why are you riding a pony, jerk, when your squaw has to walk?
Oui, 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 oui. Et l'Indien dit,
Squaw Neanderthal Petite Chauvert.
And the Indian said, Squaw has no pony.
Finney.
Finney?
We, Finney.
Oh.
You see, now you like American humor.
Oh, very much. You see, I laughed.
Yes, a little late, but you did. It was fun.
But I still don't understand.
Well, I might as well give up then, Simone. You know, it's been nice of you to pay us this little visit.
It's been very nice of you to pay me this little salary.
Oh, well. Don't mention it, Simone.
But before I go...
Yes?
I would like to talk about what you're going to pay me for my appearance tonight.
Well, there's a time and place for everything, Simone.
But I'm very worried.
Well, we'll discuss your salary later.
But I don't understand American money.
You what?
I don't know one coin from another.
Oh, well, then, before it slips my mind, perhaps we'd better discuss your salary, Simone.
You will explain American money to me?
And how?
Oh, thank you.
Now, it's like this, Simone. Money.
Oh, isn't anybody going to stop this?
Beat it, Kenny. Alone.
Please, Miss Simone, don't let Mr. Allen explain money to you.
Why not?
He explained money to me when I signed my contract.
What happened?
Sister, I ain't behind that counter at Sloppy Joe's because I like pineapple juice.
Bienvenue, Kenny. I'll handle this. I can go along with a gag, brother. I can explain money to Miss Simone as well as the next fellow.
Are you listening, Mr. Morgenthau?
Oh, quiet. He's not up this
now,
late.
Now, go ahead, Mr. Allen.
Now, just what is it you don't... what is it you don't understand about our money, Simone?
Well, you're going to pay me for tonight 1,000.
Yeah.
1,000 what?
What? This is where I start explaining. Now, I could give you $1,000 or 1,000 quarters or even 1,000 nickels.
Nickels sound good.
Oh, nickels are good. Nickels are wonderful. You know, dollars get all dirty. They pick up germs. Dollars make a nasty lump in your stocking.
Dollars are no good?
Oh, they bend in the middle and everything. Dollars. Dollars. What are dollars? Nothing but old paper.
And what are nickels?
Oh, nickels are beautiful, Simone. Shiny little gems of metal. Well, you can't put a dollar in the slot of the automat, wee.
Oui.
You can't put a dollar in a subway turnstile, wee.
Oui.
You can't put a dollar in a pay telephone, wee.
Oui.
But you can put in all of these places, wee.
Oui. Nickels sound good.
Oh, nickels sound good. Nickels it is. Tomorrow, then, I shall pay you in nickels. I'll send over a lot of packages, 1,000 nickels, wee.
Oui. But you will do me one favor, Mr. Allen.
Oui?
The nickels, you will send in small packages, oui?
Oui, I shall wrap each nickel individually. Anything to please you.
You're very kind. But one thing.
Yes?
About these dollars, I am very curious.
Yes?
So, you will please to wrap up the pretty little nickels in the dirty old dollars, oui? Bonsoir, Mr. Allen.
Au revoir, Mata Harry. Au revoir. Well, that brings us to Kenny Baker again. Loyally supported by Al Goodman's orchestra, Kenny sings Shepherd's Serenade.
Long ago, when the world was gray, I strolled away from the throng. So gay, and gone the hopes held so long. Dusk was slowly falling on the leaves. The birds were hushed in every tree. Suddenly, so bright, so strong, down from the hill came a song. I heard a lonely shepherd playing. It was a haunting melody. I heard the music clearly saying that he was happy as could be. He played and he played. The world was forgotten, like castles in air. My every care began to fade. If he would only play forever his little shepherd serenade.
Gentlemen, a message from Larry Elliott about pride, problems, and a promise. First, a word about pride.
Like millions of other Americans, the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers are proud of the fact that they are in business for themselves. Each one operates a private, local business in his own community, a business identified with Texaco because its owner prefers to sell Texaco quality products.
Now, the problems.
Today, like most other local businessmen, Texaco dealers face new problems brought about by the nation's defense effort, by the displacement of manpower, by extraordinary demands for materials.
And a promise.
But under any circumstances, your local Texaco dealer will continue to do his best to serve you and his entire community, and at the same time, do his share for defense. Moment, ladies and gentlemen, Fred Allen returns to welcome the University of Texas' most talented undergraduate to the Texaco Star Theater. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. Each week, ladies and gentlemen, on the campus of one of America's institutions of higher education, the students conduct an election to determine the most talented undergraduate attending their particular university. The prize is an all-expense trip to New York City to appear in the Texaco Star Theater as the guest of Fred Allen, plus a cash award of $200. Now, Fred, are you ready to present tonight's winner?
Yes, Larry. From the famous 40 Acres campus at Austin, Texas, we bring you the University of Texas' most talented undergraduate, Joseph Phipps. Well, congratulations, Joe. What do you know? Here you are on the Texaco show. And welcome, Joseph.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Well, Joe, now that you're up here in what is so laughingly called the big town, what would you like to see?
Well, now that I am up here in the big town, I suppose I'd like to see everything. Some of the legitimate plays, one or two of the big radio shows, Associated Press office, the Empire State Building.
Yes, you can go up on top of the Empire State Building for $1.10. And if you want to see Al Smith, I think it's 15 cents extra. You throw a stone on a window, Al opens it, looks out. It's not bad. You get your money's worth.
By the way, Mr. Allen, I've heard a lot about the Stork Club, too.
It's cheaper to see Al Smith, Joe. There's no cover. But tell me...
Tell me, how does New York compare to Austin, Texas?
Well, New York is a bigger city than Austin, but then Texas is a larger state than New York State, too.
Why, 50-50 there. You've got us and we've got you.
That's right.
Well, Texas is the largest state in the Union.
That's right. You can pick up the city of New York and carry it down there.
Now, wait a minute, Joe. There's only one man alive who can carry the city of New York, and he's Mayor LaGuardia. The mayor carries New York every 4 years and then sets it down for 4 years to get his wind back. But Texas is a great state, Joe. You know, you have a lot of things down there that we don't have up here.
Well, I think that's right, Mr. Allen. For example, have you ever seen 7 million head of cattle all jammed in the same corral?
Did you ever ride in our subway, Joe? It's the same idea without the horn. Now, I understand that Texas has had a great football team this year.
Well, we did. We had a fine team this year. We started off like a house of fire, won all of our first games.
Yeah, and then something happened.
Well, the football team got a big write-up in Life magazine.
Write-up in Life magazine. And after that?
The next two games, we tied one and lost one.
Well, after Life, there was no hope, huh? And Texas is playing its postseason game behind the 8-Bowl, huh?
Well, it might look that way to some people, but we do have several fellows down there that they're going to make All-America. Well, I mean, they're top.
I hope so. Texas must be a great university, Joe.
We do have a fine school, Mr. Allen. From the original 40 acres, the university has grown now to where it's more than 200 acres.
Oh, you know, if that happened in Rhode Island, your college would have grown out of the state by now. Tell me, is Texas a wealthy college?
Well, it's not especially wealthy. Financial pressure has been much less, though, since 1923. That was when oil was discovered on University of Texas land. Oil's what keeps our university going.
Well, what do you think keeps me going? Well, what do you think keeps me going, Joe? You know, we are oil conscious here on the Texaco program. Our orchestra conductor, Mr. Goodman there, the old maestro, used to slick his hair down with chicken fat. Now he marfacks his toupee. But about what's left of it. But about your college, is there any other important data?
Well, Mr. Allen, there's some very important data at this time because the Senate, that's the University of Law School group there, has elected you an honorary member of the Senate.
The Senate of the Law School. That's very nice, Joe.
And the boys there at the law school asked me to present you with this 10-gallon hat from Texas.
Well, thanks, Joe. That's... I'm very grateful to the Imagine me with the hat on. A 2-quart head and a 10-gallon hat here. I'm very grateful to the student senate group at the law school for their kindness, Joe.
Well, there's just one thing. It's a $50 cowboy hat, and we want it to fit.
Well, if it costs $50, Joe, it's going to fit if I have to get a set of lumps on my head to fill it out.
Now that you have a real cowboy hat, perhaps you'll accept our invitation to attend the Texas Roundup next spring.
Well, I, Governor Stevenson sent me a wire inviting me, Joe. It's very kind of him, and I may come as a spectator this spring. Of course, I'm not much of a horseman, Joe, in spite of the hat.
Well, everybody who learns to ride's got to start out as a tenderfoot.
Well, whoever invented the word tenderfoot, Joe, had no sense of direction. Now, my scouts inform me that your voice is quite familiar to the folks down there in Texas.
Well, I hope it is, Mr. Allen, because to help pay my way through law school, I've been doing radio announcing at station KTBC there in Austin.
In Austin, eh? And since you're studying law, I know you must be active in the debating society. Well, what would you like to do on our program tonight?
Well, Mr. Allen, perhaps to remind us all that this country is one of the few spots left on Earth where civil liberties are neither a promise nor a memory, but an everyday reality... our nation on December 15th commemorates the 150th anniversary of the Bill of Rights. And in connection with this, I have a few words I'd like to say.
Well, you go right ahead, Joseph. Ladies and gentlemen, the University of Texas most talented undergraduate, Joseph Phipps.
Now, old Thomas Jefferson, he said one day, "The people have got to be protected." I won't be here for very long, so come what may, their rights have got to be respected. The sage of Monticello was such a prophetic fellow, and according to his lights, he wrote a bill, the Bill of Rights. All of our problems contain a solution in what Mr. Jefferson wrote. The first 10 amendments to our Constitution, the first of which, please note, quote, Congress shall pass no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of their grievances. So you see, young man, you can say what you like, you can print what you like, you can pray the way you like, you can meet whom you like, if you get it through your head that the founding fathers said, quote,
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble,
and to petition the government for a redress of their grievances. That's the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights.
The Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights.
Don't lose it.
Thanks to the University of Texas for letting you come up here to be with us tonight. Now, next Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen, our college guest comes from the University of Oklahoma, and he's Jack Wilson. We'll be waiting for you next Wednesday, Jack. And now, Jimmy, going from Jimmy to Jack, a little action, Jimmy.
Action speaks louder than words. For example, words can't possibly be as convincing as the action of Texaco Fire Chief. The emergency duty action of a gasoline designed for fire engines, ambulances, and other emergency duty vehicles. Just step on the starter with Texaco Fire Chief in the tank. Just that one quick start will tell you more than a million words. Try Fire Chief action. Feel Fire Chief's sustained power. Check the long mileage. Yes, if you want action that speaks louder than words, try a Texaco dealer and famous Fire Chief, the emergency duty gasoline, at regular gasoline prices.
Now, the Texaco Workshop Players. This is the only little theater group to ever have a performance of Uncle Tom's Cabin foreclosed by the FHA. Now, tonight they dedicate their drama to that gallant body of men, the New York Department of Sanitation. This opus is called How Clean Is My Alley? Or don't pick up anything you see in the street. It may be a collector's item. Music, maestro.
Music, maestro. Music, maestro. Always
quiet,
the same thing.
Quiet, quiet, please,
the
sir.
The same routine every week.
Who is that mumbling in the audience? What is it you want, sir?
I want something new. Every week it's one long pan of hillbillies.
And you want something new?
Yeah, something timely. Why don't you play a sketch to remind people to do their Christmas shopping early?
Oh, look, brother, that's one of the things that is wrong with people today. They're slogan happy.
Do your Christmas shopping early has been a slogan for 20 years.
Well, all right. And in 20 years, only one man has ever reacted to that slogan. He did his Christmas shopping early, and that slogan ruined his life. Did you ever hear of Homer Preble's?
No.
Well, sit down there, stranger. I'll tell you. I'll tell you the story of Homer Preble's, the man who did his Christmas shopping early. Homer Preble's was what Dr. Gallup would like to call an average man. Homer was a white-collar worker up to Wednesday, and from Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, he went off a little on the mahogany. and 100% slogan conscious. For Homer was exposed to his first slogan at the age of 3. One day, as he sat in the nursery with an interpreter explaining his blocks, little Homer heard a voice over the radio say,
"Psst, psst, kitty, tell your mother you want cornies now."
No sooner had Homer heard his first slogan than he obeyed that childish impulse and ran to his mother and said,
Mama, I want cornies now.
Later, Homer survived adolescence some way, and when he heard the slogan, two can live as cheaply as one, Homer married. He saw his dentist twice a year, he bought his wife the right soap chips, and when he heard the slogan, do it now, he even asked his boss for a raise. His boss said,
"No, Preebles.
Ain't I worth more money, Mr. Hassam?"
"That is beside the point, Preebles."
I know. As I came in, you turned away.
Exactly.
I'll get a cake of Lifebuoy soap tonight.
That's the stuff, Preebles. You'll be a vice president in no time.
And so Homer went through life responding to every slogan instantly. But on the morning of December 5th, 1938 A.D., Homer Preebles saw the slogan that was to disrupt his entire life. Fanning the hot breakfast coffee with his morning newspaper, an ad caught Homer's eye. Homer said,
Look what it says here in the paper.
Do your Christmas shopping early.
Yeah, where's my Mickey Mouse sweatshirt?
Where are you off to, Homer?
I'm doing my Christmas shopping early. I gotta go.
Leaving the house at a dog trot, Homer arrived at the big department store. Resolved to do his Xmas shopping early, Homer bustled into the mammoth department store. A floor walker swept forward to meet him.
Good morning, sir. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I want to get a hot water bottle for my Aunt Aggie.
I shall give you my personal attention.
All I want is...
165!
Yes, sir!
This way, please.
Who's 165?
He's one of our new salesmen.
165 reporting, Mr. Kincaid.
This gentleman is a customer, 165. Now you know what a customer looks like, I'll test you.
I'll come through, sir.
We shall see. This gentleman wants a hot water bottle. I want you to sell him a pair of snowshoes.
But I want a hot water bottle.
Quiet, please. We're testing. Oh. Go ahead, 165.
Yeah. Now, sir, what is your pleasure?
I want a hot water bottle for my Aunt Aggie.
What your Aunt Aggie needs is snowshoes. If she'd get out in the snow and exercise, your Aunt Aggie's circulation would improve. She wouldn't need a hot water bottle. Shall I wrap these snowshoes?
Hey, look, I don't want snowshoes, I tell you. I want a hot water bottle.
What's wrong with these snowshoes?
Nothing.
Then what are we waiting for?
You got your hand in my collar.
And I ain't taking it out, brother, until you know when.
Okay, I got to breathe. Give me the snowshoes.
A sale, Mr. Kincaid!
Congratulations, 165. You're going places.
Yeah, what about me? Where am I going?
You know where you can go.
With snowshoes?
His Christmas money gone and carrying a greasy snowshoe under each arm, Homer trudged wearily home. No hot water bottle for Aunt Aggie's Christmas present this Christmas, but the snowshoes were stored away in a clothes closet. Another year fled by, and soon it was December 1939. Homer was off again to do his Christmas shopping early. Intent on exchanging his snowshoes for the hot water bottle for Aunt Aggie, Homer mushed his way into the mammoth department store again. Placing the snowshoes akimbo on the counter, he said to the clerk,
I want to exchange these snowshoes for a hot water bottle.
Oh, goody, goody. I'll call the manager. Mr. Pennypacker.
Coming.
When I get the hot water bottle...
Quiet. Here's Mr. Pennypacker.
Well, Griswold, I'm a busy man. What is it you want?
Well, this gentleman has snowshoes.
Has no shoes. Everybody should wear shoes. You'll catch cold.
The whole shit has stocking feet. I got shoes.
Griswold, didn't you just tell me this man has no shoes?
Well, no, sir. He has shoes, but also he has snowshoes.
You say he has shoes?
Yes, Mr. Pennypacker.
And still he has no shoes?
Yes, sir.
Griswold, you're drunk. Drinking on duty is a violation. Turn in your gardenia. You're fired.
Wait a minute. I can explain.
I doubt it, but carry on.
Look, last Christmas I came in here to buy my Aunt Aggie a hot water bottle.
That's perfectly clear. Go on.
But instead, through no fault of mine, I get snowshoes.
That's what I've been trying to tell you, Mr. Pennypacker.
How could this lummox purchase snowshoes?
From the salesman who sells snowshoes.
We have a shoe salesman here who sells snowshoes. He's fired. Now,
What can I do for you, sir?
Look. You see this?
Yes.
What is it?
It's a packet.
Look inside. What do you see?
Two tennis rackets.
You're nuts. Them snowshoes.
I know them snowshoes. Them tennis rackets.
Mr. Penny Packer Iverson.
So do I.
Wait a minute. Who do I see about getting a hot water bottle?
Don't ask us. We don't work here.
Well, this was too much for Homer Preebles. He ran out of the store yelling, "I am a hot water bottle." He was rushed away to a psychopathic ward and put in the rubber department. For 6 months, Homer thought he was a hot water bottle, and every time he saw a pair of bare feet, he'd lie down. But finally, after 2 years, Homer stopped seeing feet. And this year, it was a different story. Tonight, Homer Preebles, fully recovered, is here to tell us about himself. Well, what have you got to say, Homer?
The slogans is a curse.
One slogan caused all of your troubles.
Yeah,
huh?
Do your Christmas shopping early.
Well, did you finally get your Christmas shopping done?
Oh, yeah. This year, I got Aunt Aggie a hot water bottle.
Well, congratulations. How did you do it, Homer?
I done my Christmas shopping early.
And the slogan finally worked?
Yeah, but I had to do my shopping good and early.
How early, Homer?
I was in the store before it opened up.
So you finally got your hot water bottle.
And 30 days for breaking and entering.
Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is the true story of Homer Preebles, the victim of a slogan, "Do your Christmas shopping early." And the moral is, you may start your Christmas shopping early with your heart leaping as joyfully as a salmon, but if you do your Christmas shopping too early, like the salmon, you too will end up in the can. The end. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. Next week, our guest star will be Miss Luella Parsons, Hollywood's First Lady of the Columns. We'll be looking for you next week. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.